It's all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give, and I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily.
We sing it out, I surrender.
I surrender all.
Sing it to Him.
And I surrender all. And all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Come on, we sing it this morning.
And I surrender all. And I surrender all. And all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Father, this morning we just come before You, just laying down everything that we have. God, laying everything down that's in our hearts and our lives, and we choose this morning to look at You and say, we surrender all. God, because You're greater. You're worth it. You're worthy. And so, Father, this morning, our hearts choose to say, we surrender to the Almighty King. We surrender to You, Lord. And we pray that You continue to work in our hearts. Have Your way in our service. Speak to our hearts through Your word this morning. We love You, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Kevin Elder, and for the past 5 years, it's been my absolute privilege to lead our mission efforts into Cambodia. This past week, Lee, myself, Steve Seabury, and Mark Wood, we had an opportunity to travel to Cambodia. The primary purpose of the mission this time was to do a pastor's conference. Our first pastor's conference 5 years ago, we had about 15 pastors sitting in a small classroom. This year, we had just shy of 60. The pastors represent the 13 churches that we financially support, represents 10 churches from Pokompong province, and a couple of outlying churches that, to be honest with you, I don't know where they're at, and I'm not sure how the pastors showed up other than word of mouth, but they were all welcomed. We're not going to show a slideshow, and we're not going to speak very long, but I just want to throw this one picture up here, because as a fairly new Christian, one of the biggest things I struggle with is maintaining my joy in Christ as a citizen of heaven living in this world. Because nothing sucks the joy out of me more than money and power and trying to maintain life here in Aledo, Texas. And as much as I'd like to say I traveled to Cambodia to take care of my brothers and sisters over there, I traveled to Cambodia to learn how to maintain joy in Christ, regardless of circumstance. The gents in the picture in front of you represent murderers, cannibals, rapists, victims of murder, cannibal, and rapist. They represent Buddhist monks, high Buddhist monks. They represent men who just picked up a Bible, the Jesus book, and found Christ and said, I need to start a church. Represented up here is the sons of men who lead our churches in Cambodia. So this thing is going on. It's out of control. It is absolutely out of control, and it's driven by the Holy Spirit, and we can't stop it. All we can do is help it. All right? And I want to thank each and every one of you for your financial support and for your prayers. This thing is just absolutely nuts. It has no explanation, and I go over there, and I just enjoy being part of it. And that's my testimony. That's what we did. We arrived back this morning at 5:30, so I'm 10% Holy Spirit, 90% caffeine right now. So I'll turn it over to Steve for just a second so he can share his thoughts. Again, thank you, and before I forget, Kyle and Amy Y are still over there. They'll be over there until Friday. Just keep them in your prayers. Keep them safe. He is a Jesus freak like nobody I've ever seen. He's just pulled the string and let him go, and that's what we're doing. And he's just gonna spread the gospel, and he is just a wonderful, wonderful, loving man. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Kevin, and just a real quick word of praise. Right now, my right ear just popped, and I can actually hear some things over here. Many of you know Anne and my story about the years we served as your missionaries in Africa, and then in the 15, 16 years since, how I've been working with the BGCT in mission promotion. So I've seen and done a lot, but this was truly a first. Never had the opportunity to go to East Asia, Asia of any sort. And for those of you who have been to Cambodia, you'll understand exactly my comment about seeing everything with first eyes. Now, granted, I had a little filter. I'm filtering them through with my previous experiences, but oh my goodness, first sight of everything is just an amazing, amazing situation. And that's part of what drives my thanks to these guys for the invitation to go, is to be better equipped to share far and wide through my job opportunities for other churches to join us in what is truly a New Testament movement of the Holy Spirit. There's no other way to explain it. Now, personal reflections are in, there's two of the guys, is it still up there? Yeah. Two of the gentlemen in that photo are some personal reflections that I wanted to share with you. While we were in the van driving around those several times up and down the roads, Kyle made just in passing, literally, zip. He said it was gone. He said, Cambodia is a broken country. And that stuck with me as we were driving around, and I reflected on it, and I agreed with him from a broad scale. It's a broken country. The government is shaky. There's corruption everywhere. There's poverty. There's crime. There's drugs. There's prostitution. All those big sins. Hovering over it is what seems to be an impenetrable cloud of the darkness of Buddhism. And yet, Jesus Christ is in the business of healing and bringing back into wholeness those who are broken. The two gentlemen up there that struck me the most on your right, the fourth one from our right, he's got kind of the pale shirt and then the cream-colored pants. We walked into the conference area, and I know my wife's fixing to chuckle at this, you know, we're on time. Well, they've been there for 45 minutes singing and praising and that kind of thing. So we walk in and, you know, we're doing the hello, how are you, it's good to see you, you know, well, I'm new and so forth. So we sit down waiting for the singing to finish, and where my seat is sitting, I'm looking right at that gentleman, and I'm just thinking, to me, when the Holy Spirit's really active in your life, it's when some thoughts come, you don't prompt them, they just, boom, they invade you. And the invasion to me was, this is a man that is full of more joy than I could even quantify. Amazing joy. Just smile and joy, and then my eyes strayed down, and I went, oh, and he has no legs. Oh, my goodness. Both of his legs are gone at the shin level. And then I find out more of his story, landmine that took both of his legs. And just that alone, I'm wondering, would I be that joyful if I lost two limbs in a situation like that? Then I found out the more that the descriptions Kevin were making of people who did atrocities beyond imagination, he was one of the key ones that did it. And yet his face radiates more love, more joy in Christ. I don't think I ever saw him quit smiling, ever. It's just an incredible thing. So I thought, yeah, Lord, you have healed brokenness in that man's life. Then the gentleman to his right, he's got kind of that pale blue shirt. He's got the Bible, or it's not a Bible. It's a little booklet in front of him. One of the keyest leaders in the Khmer Rouge, is that correct? Yeah. And he was in the military, and they kind of were joking a little bit, Kyle was and others, that said that people used to say that he was so powerful and knew so many people, literally, this sounds like a bad analogy, where all the skeletons were. I mean, he was a man of incredible power, that when he entered a room and took a step, the earth cracked. That's how powerful he is. Guy might be 5'4", maybe, but he is such a, was a man of such power that when he entered the room, the ground cracked. And now I look at him and I hear his stories. He's one of the key leaders that are going on there now. So for me, again, that's a second example of Jesus bringing healing and wellness and healing back the brokenness. Now, the struggle for me is this. I go to these churches. We visit them. We're just immersed in the love of Jesus. And we think, oh, yes, Jesus, this is amazing. And we leave and we're right back into that environment of brokenness. And it can be a moment of despair to say, Lord, how in the world are you going to do this? And that's not my question. That's not my answer. It's not for me to answer. The answer is Jesus can do it. All we are responsible to do is our little portion that he gives us the opportunity to be a part of. And you're a part of that. Some of you have actually been. Some of you are going to go. Some of you never will go. But we can all be a part of what is truly an amazing movement of bringing wellness and healing to a country that was and is broken. So thank you, Lee, Kevin, Mark. It was a joy to be with you guys.
I enjoyed being with these guys over there and with Kyle and Amy. They're great people. You know that. I'm going to tell you, for also, it was the first time in Cambodia. So you see a lot of things, as Steve said, with fresh eyes, new eyes. And one of the things that absolutely overwhelmed me is that as different as the culture is, and as different, I mean, they're eating breakfast when you're eating dinner. I mean, how crazy is that? As different as they are, they're the same. We look at all the differences in language and every other way you can slice it. But, you know, they weep for their children when they hurt. They love their children every bit as much as you do. They weep when they're hungry. They laugh at the same things we laugh at. They may not get my jokes, but no one gets my jokes. So it's the same. They laugh. They cry, they hurt, they have joy at exactly the same things that touch you at every one of those points. These people are not different. Humanity has a commonality to it, a universal aspect to it. And when Jesus died on the cross for people, they were all the same. Every one of them hurts in the same way. They all want a Savior. They're looking for it in one way or another. And we're seeing incredible ways that people in Cambodia are finding out that Jesus loves them and wants to be their Savior. It was just absolutely amazing. These pastors, all of them that we met, and then to go out in the field and to visit their churches and to see them in their home context was absolutely astounding to me. I was just amazed at these men who don't have all the sophistication in the world. They don't have a lot of education, but every one of them was a man of God. I mean, it was just apparent. You could see it in every one of their faces. At the conference, and then when you went to their church, you saw it. They get discouraged, like pastors do here. They worry. They do all the same things. They think they're being ineffective. They got up and confessed. There's times they wanted to just give up, but they didn't. They hung in there. One of the things that keeps them going is this pastor's conference, just some people coming to encourage them. They don't get that. And they're learning to encourage one another. And that's very, very important. I am so proud to know that not one of these great pastors, and these are great men, Not one of them is buying into some corporate model of what it is to be a Christian or to be a pastor or to have a church. They're doing it by the Holy Spirit. They have been taught by reading the Bible and by the Holy Spirit in such a way that there is power in what they're doing. Churches are just springing up. We don't even know how they got there. We don't know where they came from. I'm not sure they can tell us what it is, but they have a strategy, and it's go out and witness to people about Jesus Christ. And when they do so, and they win a few converts, they start a church. And one of those converts becomes the pastor, and that's how you end up with 55 at the meeting. I mean, it's not any more complicated than that. Now, you can sit down and do a study in the book of Acts and read about this and say that was at a different time, a different place in church history. That kind of thing doesn't happen anymore. Well, let me tell you, it's happening in Cambodia. You read the book of Acts, you can go there and see the book of Acts come alive. You see churches spreading, people going from house to house. These are house churches, and they begin to draw people in, and they fill the house. And it becomes a church, and then they get some kind of a building. It doesn't have to be fancy, but they get a place to meet, and they begin to do this. And you're seeing the church literally explode in Cambodia in the way that you read in the book of Acts. I started reading it again on the way back on the plane. You know, here's a few hundred. Now it's 3,000. Now there's another 5,000 added to that. And that's what's going on in Cambodia. And no one's organizing it. No one's making it happen. There's no steering committee anywhere. This is something that God is doing. And whenever you go, whenever this church sends a group, whenever we do this, what you're doing is you're accepting the invitation of God to be part of what He's already doing. I promise you, we don't go over there and make anything happen. We go over and support what God's doing. And that's a privilege. It's an incredible stewardship on our part. We're not the key players there. These people are. We're there as a support team to help them in any way that we can, but never kid yourself, we can't make this happen. We're not making this happen. We're not the ones organizing it. It is organized by the Holy Spirit, and you see the power of God in its rawest, purest form at work. That's what's going on in Cambodia. It is absolutely amazing. And it is such a rare thing for us in our culture, in Western civilization, to be able to experience and go somewhere and see that God still does powerful and miraculous things. And the only thing that I can come up with an analogy for you to compare it to is just start reading the book of Acts and see it happen. Because what's happening there is happening anytime God is purely at work in the world, and that's what's happening in Cambodia. That was my spin on it. That's how I saw it. It's how I experienced it. I didn't feel like one of these guys, they're all going, thank you, you know, and doing all. Let me tell you something. I was humbled to be in the presence of these great men of God. And the wonderful thing is they don't know they are. They don't understand. They just think this is how it is everywhere. God at work doing miraculous things and making it happen and making churches spring up everywhere. I think God takes great joy in that. And we need to enter into that joy. And I hope that you will find some way to make that incredibly torturous plane ride all the way over there and all the way back, because you'll never regret it. And I appreciate you letting us go. Thank you.
Proverbs chapter 18. Verse 10 and 11. Verse 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The name of the Lord would be His character, who He is. So it's saying that the Lord is a strong tower. Now, the first hearers or readers of that truth, they would understand that much better than we do. So picture people out in the fields, working, raising their families, playing, and an enemy comes over the hill, and the enemy is strong, is powerful. There would be Jerusalem. There would be Megiddo. There would be a place where there is a strong tower. It's a huge wall. It's a fortified protection. It's a strong tower. And so, the people would see the enemy coming over the hill, and they would run for protection. Well, the scripture here says, the Lord is a strong tower. And it says that the righteous man, the believer, the one covered, the faithful, the righteous man runs into it. He acts. So spiritually speaking, that would be for us today. We apply, we believe, we hear, we know, we understand, and we apply Him. We believe in Him. We trust in Him. And when we run into that strong tower, we're safe. And then he contrasts it in verse 11. And it might be in the contrast that we actually understand the strong tower. I do believe we can understand verse 11 perhaps as much as that first hearer did, or maybe even more today. A rich man's wealth is his strong city. And like a high wall, in his imagination. So the rich man, he knows how to make money. He knows how to gain wealth. He knows how to make things happen. He trusts in his trusts. He trusts in his decision making. He trusts in his ability to make money. The rich man says, you better believe this, we are going to build a huge wall. The rich man says, we're going to fix things. The rich man says, we are going to bring America whole. The rich lady says, we're going to get America working again. Isn't it amazing how we are being bombarded with this imagination today? A rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his imagination. Now, a high wall in someone's imagination is not going to protect anyone from the adversary. So, I believe the scripture says, as we apply it to being generous, as we apply it to being who God wants us to be, God is the strong tower. He is able. He can protect. He has unlimited resources. He never runs out. If we trust in Him, we can be generous because we recognize it never runs out. He's a strong tower. He's always able. He can always deliver. He's always the Lord. But a rich man, his wealth is a strong city and like a high wall in his imagination. So in this life of faith, this life of following the Lord, somewhere along the way, we've got to come to the place where we cross this road of who are we trusting in? Are we trusting in ourselves? Are we trusting in our own abilities? And that gets in the way of generosity, because that means that the well is shallow. The well is shallow. I thought a lot about generosity this past week. In teaching the pastors at the conference, I couldn't keep my eyes off of the Brick family man. He's now a pastor. Fact is, he's pastoring one of the poorest congregations there. It's a very poor group of people. The kids are really hungry. To get there is an ordeal. They're meeting in an old cement-looking room. Holes in the roof. The kids come up, red tint in their hair, not because they've dyed it to look cool, but because of malnutrition. And he's pastoring. He's serving. And I thought, two or three or four or five or six times this past week, about the day 5 years ago when we looked for the Brick family. We had put them in a place we thought would be a refuge for them, a place where we thought would be a strong tower, but people got in the way and they were removed from that strong tower. And we found them in Battambang, Cambodia, living under the blue tarp that we all buy to lay down on the ground if we're going to do something, or we buy to put on our house when it hails to keep out the rain, right? And they're living under a blue tarp they found somewhere. They were starving. They were broken. We were perplexed. What do we do and how do we do it and what are we going to do and what's going to take place? And we don't see the future. We needed to see the future. And today I look back and I can see what God did and how He worked it out. But back then I couldn't see it. And I was just going, oh my, I don't believe that I can live with this. We've got to do something. And the only thing we needed to do was take our money, and we went and bought 100 pounds of rice because we didn't know a solution for them. We don't live there. We couldn't take them in. We had to find something. The Lord provided, and they've been provided for well and taken care of. Another pastor took them in and offered generosity to them. And now he's discipled that guy, and that guy's a pastor. It's a wonderful story. But back then, it just looked helpless, hopeless. And so we quickly go to the buying place of rice. We buy a 100-pound bag of rice. I remember thinking, it's $37. I remember thinking, you know, $37, we spend $37 every time we eat out, don't we? And that's if you're eating at R&K with the cheap places. But we had this horrible fear taking the rice over to them, thinking, oh no, they're not the only homeless there. They're not the only, you know, desperate people around this rice field. What are we going to do? What if they get robbed? What if they're going to be beaten? I mean, maybe we're setting them up for something bad to happen to them. Well, we take the rice to them. They're unbelievably grateful. Unbelievably grateful. They're just broken in tears, and they're hugging us, and they're just embracing us. And you know, of course, Kyle's talking to them, and we're just kind of standing there, just, you know, not sure what to do. And I'm unstable. I'm grasping, you know, trying to see something, trying to figure this out, trying. And I went, we all did, we walked away, and we had to walk about 200 yards, I think, to get to where they were. And we were walking away, And I don't remember exactly how it happened, but someone said, "Look." And we turned and looked back, and they were inviting all of the people around them to come. And we watched people running over to their tarp and them taking that bag of rice. They had opened it up, and people were bringing bowls and sacks, and they were giving their rice away. And so when I thought all week long, being there in Cambodia and looking at that guy's face and watching him write every note down and watching him just listen and soak it all in, I just remember seeing what generosity is all about. Now, how it ties into the scripture is this. I do remember clear as day that when I turned around and we turned around and we saw that happening, I remember what they told us. They said, "Jesus has visited us and Jesus has brought us rice." Didn't say y'all did it. Now, they were very gracious and very thankful. I mean, they've named their kids Alito. True story. This is just four or five kids running around Cambodia. Their name is Alito. True story. But Jesus has visited us and brought the rice. So we're going to give it away. We're starving. We're hungry. You know, the human side is, the wealthy side of this, the verse 11 side of this is, hoard the wealth, protect the rice, guard the rice with all of your life. You've got to keep this rice. You're starving. But since the Lord is a strong tower, they gave the rice away. Now, they kept some for themselves, of course. I mean, my goodness, 100 pounds of rice is a lot of rice. But that's generosity. We have so, so much. We're called on to be generous. Ushers, come forward.